We're going to go right into learning our verse. We've got two verses to learn, and but I caught her at all right, you're all ready? Yay.
Okay, confession. This was the hardest verse I ever had learned. This was filled with spiritual warfare, and even right now it's like, how does it go again? How's it go again? So just recognize this is something that enemy doesn't want us to hear. This is Jude 1:4. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude 1:4. Let's do it again. And recognize these ungodly people, you know, they're wolves in sheep clothing. We need to be aware of them. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude 1:4. So we need to have our spiritual glasses on and make sure he is not around us, right? This thing won't be quiet now, sorry. Okay, and this one is one that my son wrote when he was in high school, and he is now the father of two. His oldest one is 13, so this was a long time ago. This is Jude 1:24 and 25. Oh, here we go. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. We want him to rule now and forever. And we say, amen. Oh my, oh my. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. You got that verse down now because you read it, you sang it, you read it, you sang it, and you kept it going. And so I am so thankful for Linda who comes and does that for us and teaches us the Word of God and helps us. You guys are so close. I'm kind of weird. It's kind of weird. You know, it's like, You can see my every move. You can see when I do the wrong thing. And then, you know? But, and I told them, they said, do you want us to keep the seats up over at the side? I said, there are people who always sit on that side. And so we do have people sitting right on that side, just like I said. I know you guys so well. I'm excited about that. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Father, for tonight. Lord, I thank you for your presence with us. I thank you for your word, Lord, that we are hiding deep in our hearts, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you have gone before us and that you have your way with us tonight, Lord. You have a word for us, and we are going to grow. We're going to mature. We're going to be aware. We're going to be warned. We are going to warn others, Lord, and we are going to grow in your word. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence with us. In Jesus' name, amen. And so as I was getting ready for this study, I want to tell you about my Bible. I love this Bible. And I know that we have all kinds of apps this time. We have all kinds of apps available to us. We have all kinds of things that will find every verse we ever wanted to find. It'll find it for us. And it will also steal a portion of our mind because we will forget where it's at. So there are men who died, who gave their life, gave their blood so that we could have this printed word. William Tyndale, Tyndale Bibles, gave his life so that we could have this word of God, so that we could have these pages that we turn. I love the sound of the pages turning when we go to another scripture, don't you? And just the feel of the pages. And just that being able to look for something on my own and find out, I found out this other thing. There's something else there that I didn't know it was there. And I find out all kinds of new things, and God uses it as I search the scripture on my own. And the next time I go to it, I remember where it's at. I remember where it's at on that page. I might not remember exactly where it's at, but I know where it's at on that page. So I might not be able to tell you the number and all of that, so its address. But take the time to appreciate the fact that men gave their blood so that you could have the written word. This faith could pass his faith along to you. So as we get into the book of Jude, I have titled it, the Acts of the Apostles, and this is the Acts of the Apostates. This is the Acts of the Apostates, what those who did, who had turned their backs on the Lord. And I would also title it Contending for the Faith. It is the Acts of the Apostates / Contending for the Faith. It is more than a sermon. It's more than a story. It's more than me standing up here talking to you. It is something in me is compelled to share this book with you guys. I would love to be teaching something else. I would love to be teaching some nice little psalm to you. I would love to be teaching some other area to you. But God said, we are going to learn Jude tonight because it's very important to us as believers that we have this down and that we have it in our hearts. In the 1960s and 70s in the United States, there was a movement that went on, and it came to be known as the Jesus Movement. It was people wanted to be Christians. They wanted to know Jesus as their personal Savior. You could literally walk down the street and have somebody say to you, how do I accept Jesus? I am not kidding you, that really is the way that it happened. But then it became trendy to be a Christian. And the church really grew, and as the church really grew, there were a number of people in the church who were not for real. They were false prophets. They had come in. They came in with false doctrine. They came in with lies. And we are at the place that we're at today because of that. The church in Ephesus, it was... Apostle Paul spent most of his time there. It was in a metropolitan area. It's there, Ephesus in Turkey. The history of the church was that it was a thriving church. It grew. It was a big church. Paul had been there. See, you're close up to me, and I have a little string right here that's bothering me. I'm waiting for it to... Anyway, it looked like I was just... Lord, I need your help. Oh, how I need your help, Lord. The Apostle Paul spent most of his time there. He spent 3 years in Ephesus. And then he gave that church over to Timothy. You remember. You know the story. You know all about it. They were rich. They were a rich church, both spiritually and financially. And then we read in Revelation 2. In Revelation 2, John wrote, "You have resources, you have acclaim, but you have abandoned your first love." It says in Revelation chapter 2, it says, I know your works, I know your labor, I know your patience. You can't bear those who are evil. You have been tested. I know that you've persevered. You have patience. You've labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You have left your first love. You have not lost your first love. You left your first love. It's very important to put the right word in there. They didn't lose their first love. They left it. And so that's, I wonder if those same things are happening in America right now, that we have abandoned our first love. May I say to you that the greatest, I should have said that with an accent, huh? May I say to you that the greatest attack against the church is not from the outside, but it is from the inside today. And it's just what God said it would be. And so we find it easier to take the persecution from the outside, but there are churches today that no longer exist because they have allowed false doctrine in. Churches that have redefined marriage, that's false doctrine. Churches that redefine what it is to carry a baby to term and what you can do with it. This morning I was reminded, Shannon led worship for us this morning, and it brought me to tears because as she closed off and prayed and I listened to her praying, I was so touched by the fact that when I first became pregnant with Shannon, the doctor wanted me to abort her. Why? Because there was something wrong? No, because they were too close together. My children were too close together, and I should do away with this one so that I could have one at a better time, some time that was more convenient for me. And I stood against that. I stood against it, and I stood against it, and finally said, "Stop it. Stop asking me that question. I am not going to do this, and so I'm going to have this baby." And as I look at Shannon today, I think about that day. Had I gone through with that, I would have robbed the world of her voice. I would have robbed Jesse of a wife. I would have never have had two great, wonderful grandchildren right now who are singing for the Lord and loving the Lord because I would have done what was convenient for me. And so I'm just so thankful for that. I want to share that with you, that God has this. He has it all in control, and I don't know how that really ties together with what I was just talking about, but just having that in our mind of the things that we allow to come into the church. There are denominations today that are so socially minded that they have no idea what it is to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And they are not teaching an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. They're helping a lot of people. I know your patience. I know your works. I know that you do this and I know that you do that, but you have left your first love. And because they have allowed false doctrine to creep in, they are no longer strong for the Lord. We're watching and listening to people on social media. Every sort of that includes TV, that includes Instagram, it includes Facebook, it includes any other, what are the other names that are available now? We have all so many different ways, YouTube and all of that. And we listen to people and we put a little like on it because they really sound good. They really look good. Oh, I love the suit. Oh, gosh, what a handsome person. And look at the way that they present themselves. What they're saying has got to be true because of this. And we don't take the time to find out if these words are true. We don't take the time to be Bereans and search the scripture and find out if these things be true. And that's where we're at in this, in our text today. There is a false gospel that has infiltrated the church. And so we go to this little book of Jude, which you already have open, I know, in front of you. And according to theologians, it's the most neglected book in the Bible. It is the least mentioned, and it is the least studied. Why? Because it confronts you from the very beginning. It confronts you from the very beginning, right up front and throughout the entire one chapter. Did it take you all week to read the whole book of Jude? Yes, because of that one chapter has so much in it. It challenges us. It was written in the year AD 65. Jude is the author, also known as Judas, but changed to Jude because of obvious reasons. Written 35 years after the resurrection of Jesus, the church is flourishing. It's grown into the thousands. The church has been persecuted by the Romans, but now something more sinister has happened. The attack on the church was coming from the inside, and what Jude said then is pertinent to us today. It is pertinent to us today. There is something that's going through the churches today. And so we start with verse 1. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. We know that Jude was a half-brother of Jesus. We know that James was the half-brother of Jesus. This is the same James that wrote the book of James. You notice in the book of James, James does not say, oh, I'm the brother of Jesus. Jude does not say, I'm the brother of Jesus. He says, I am a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was more important to him that you knew that he was a slave of Jesus Christ than it was for you to know that he was the brother of Jesus. James nor Jude believed in Jesus as the Messiah to begin with. They wanted nothing to do with him. Matthew 13 tells us how they said, "Oh, this is just a carpenter from Galilee. This is a from Nazareth. Nazareth, sorry. We know he's just a nobody." Neither James nor Jude believed in their in Jesus as the Messiah. But what brought them to the place of believing? The preaching of Jesus didn't change their minds. The miracles of Jesus didn't change their minds. The death on the cross of Jesus did not change their mind. What changed their mind? It was the resurrection. It is the resurrection from dead that gives us eternal life. It is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was the death on the cross. Yes, he shed his blood for us, but if he went into that tomb and never came out, we cannot have eternal life because of that. There must be a resurrection. It was the resurrection that showed them, yes, he is the Messiah. He is the chosen one. He is the one that goes before us. Bill told me about a theologian, a teacher, a preacher, all the same person who calls himself progressive. And he was being interviewed by this other guy. And this theologian, teacher, preacher, whatever, said, well, I don't really believe in the resurrection. What are you teaching? What are you teaching? If you don't believe in the resurrection, what are you teaching? What are you giving to the people? You are selfish. You are self-centered. You are only living for what you see. And you are a false prophet who are drawing people to yourself and leading them astray. And boy, I don't want to be in your shoes on the day when you have to answer to Jesus for it. When Jude saw Jesus' resurrection, he and his brothers followed him. Jude made no mention of the fact that he was his brother. That servant was higher. And it says that it was, who is it written to? It is written to those who are called, those who are sanctified by God the Father, and to those who are preserved and protected by Jesus Christ. That's who it's going to. So it's the brother of Jesus who is a bondslave of Jesus Christ, and he says this is who it's to. It's to those who are called, it is to those who have been set apart, and it is to those who are preserved, are protected by Jesus Christ. And then Jude prays for them, and he says, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you, because you're going to need mercy. You're going to need peace, and you're going to need love to move forward. I have some things to say to you. You're going to need mercy, and you're going to need peace, and you're going to need love to receive what I have to say to you. And so in verse 3, we see the purpose for him writing, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Contend earnestly. I'm told that this is a military word, that it means to really put up a fight. You're contending for the faith. We need to today contend for the faith, to stand for what is right, to stand for the truth. And it is, you see that he says, it is. I wanted to talk about just our common salvation. I wanted to talk about our common salvation. But the Lord, the Holy Spirit, spoke to my heart, and he said, no, it is more necessary for you to talk about what is going on there and tell them to, for the good of all the people, for them to know that they need to contend for the faith. And so it was not all about me. It was all about others. I don't know if you've ever heard of the singing group 21 Pilots. Anybody? Yeah. And so Emmy really loves 21 Pilots. And so we looked up something about them, and we found out, I was wondering, how did you get your name, 21 Pilots? How does that tie together with anything? And it was a group that was formed in 2009 by college friends. And Tyler Joseph, came up with the band's name while studying All My Sons by Arthur Miller, a play about a man who commits suicide after causing the death of 21 pilots during World War II because he knowingly sent them faulty parts for the good of his business. And so Joseph explains that this story of moral dilemma was the inspiration for the name of the band. You see, it was all about all of the people, not just the guy who had the business. He let down all of the people. It wasn't just about him. It's not just about me. It's not just about you. It is about all of the people, that they know that we know that we must contend for the faith. We must stand for the faith. It is necessary to think of all of the people. Contend means work earnestly for the faith. Fight for it. Stand for it. While we are enjoying a fellowship all together, we need to stand together and contend for the faith so that all might be saved. That's Jesus' desire. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us today, that speaking the same thing to us today here in America, because something sinister is happening. So why does Jude then change what he's saying? Because he tells us why we need to contend for the faith. Verse 4, for certain men have crept in unnoticed. Unnoticed. I have that word underlined numerous times. Unnoticed. How can certain men creep in unnoticed? Because I am unaware. Because I don't know the word of God. Because I'm not walking in the Spirit. They crept in and I didn't see it happening. Who long ago were marked out for their condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They came in unnoticed because we're busy, because we are unaware, because we fail to be Bereans and know why we believe what we believe. That is my heart for all of you, that you might know why you believe what you believe, because it will be challenged. Everything you believe about Jesus Christ will be challenged. It is guaranteed. It will be challenged. They crept in unnoticed, so we need to be those Bereans. They draw away people to themselves. They slip in through Instagram. They slip in through Facebook. They slip in through YouTube. They slip in through all of the other ways, and they slip right into the church building. Right into the group of people, because we're the church, right? Right into the group of the people. And they come in, and they sound good, and they look good, and they look like they have it all together. And wow, that's really, oh, that's something new. I've never heard that before. All of a sudden, they're drawing people to themselves. Oh, yeah, come into my little group. Oh, yes, you noticed how wonderful I am. Just come on in. And pretty soon you find them not just drawing people to themselves, but drawing those people to themselves and taking them outside of the church and giving them something that's not true to gospel. Leading Christians astray. Jude is saying it won't prosper. It's born of the flesh, and it is not born of the Spirit. Three things. In verse 4, their judgment is coming. Number 2, they're godless men. And number 3, they change the grace of God. We are to preach in such a way that you feel, they preach in such a way that you feel comfortable sinning. They preach in such a way that you feel comfortable sinning. They give you a license to sin. You listen to a preacher that never confronts you, never challenges you. You are in trouble. Now, that is not true of here. I'm going to tell you, this past Sunday, as I sat in and I listened to Jeff teaching, I was challenged by what he said. And so you are challenged here. I just want you to know that. You're safe here. Okay? But you need to check out what Jeff said. Don't trust Jeff just because he stood up there. Don't trust Bill because he stands up there. Don't trust me because I stand up here. Find out if what we have to say is true to the Word of God. You can do that. Only you can do that for yourself. And so find out. So they make us comfortable in sin. If you are listening to preachers who never jostle your faith, you better check it out, because they're teaching you false doctrine. You're listening to somebody and you're doing the little like on it, you know? Oh, I like this one. Oh, I like this. Oh, that sounds so good. Yes. Oh, I like that one. I like that one. And then you read on or you listen on, and all of a sudden you go, whoa, wait, how do I remove my like? I want to take my like off. Because you just kind of slipped in because you were busy, not paying attention, not aware of what the Word of God says to you at that particular time. You cannot preach the whole counsel of God and not offend somebody. I saw an illustration on Instagram, by the way. It said, I wish we were offended by sin because we sure are offended by everything else that doesn't matter. I wish we were offended by sin because we sure are offended by everything else that doesn't matter. Goes right to the heart, doesn't it? We need to be offended by that sin. Where there is no offense, there is compromise. We don't even know we are being led astray because we like their charisma, we like their social media, because we don't know the scripture, because we're not aware of what God is saying. We're not listening to the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 20, there's the story of how Satan fell from heaven. And when he fell from heaven, he took a third of the angels with him. You see, the enemy always wants to take people with him. He wanted to take Jesus with him. He wanted Jesus to fall with him. But Jesus contended for the faith. Jude said to look out for these men. Jude is warning us, just like all the other scriptures that we seem to be getting in women's ministry, about warning people. It is important that we warn each other about the things that have eternal value. I need to change my conversation. After this year, and Shannon brought this up this morning when she was leading us in worship, how it's so easy to get talking about all of the things this past year, and we have these long conversations about nothing that has anything to do with eternal life. And we spend our time figuring out, do we get the vaccine? Do we not get the vaccine? What's in this vaccine? What's not in that? Should I wear a mask? Should I not wear a mask? It's causing division in the church. And that's all we're talking about. But what we need to be talking about, and we'll get into this a little bit later, we need to be talking about Jesus. We need to be sharing Christ. We need to be warning people, don't walk in that way. Don't follow that person. Don't follow what they have to say. Jesus is warning us, like all of those other scriptures, we need to do this because we love the brethren, and it shows them that we love them if we are willing to warn them. This is love. I care more about your soul than I do about whether or not you like me. I care more about you and your soul and your spirit than whether or not you like me, because there are people who don't like me. And I'm fine with that. There are people who would argue with the things that I say that I know that are true. And that's fine with me. Because I care more about their soul than I do about whether or not they like me. It says to be careful if all men say good of you. You're doing something wrong if everybody's saying good stuff about you. You're in trouble. Jude told them false gospels and false doctrine were rampant in the church, that you must contend for the faith, you must fight for the faith, you must fight for the truth. There are three ways to contend for the faith. Reject false teaching by knowing the Word of God. Reject false teaching by knowing the Word of God. Number two, stand for the truth. Talk about it. Evil flourishes when good people say nothing. Talk about the gospel. Talk about the truth. Talk about Jesus with people. Yesterday, I had an appointment, and at this appointment, I was asked, how do I explain to my dad what is the difference between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? How do I explain that to my dad? I was there for an appointment. He was supposed to be fixing me. And he asks me this question. And we get to talk about Jesus. We get to talk about the Trinity. We get to talk about how the Holy Spirit works and how Jesus works and how the Father works and how they're all one, but they're separate, and which makes no sense to any of us, right? But God set that up. And you know what? I've been told lately that, why don't you get this by mail order? And why don't you get that by mail order? And you know, you could save yourself a trip over there to do that. And you could do, but you know what? I can also save myself from talking to anybody. There is no other reason than when I'm in the grocery store. I could have those things I could have those things delivered to my house. There's nothing wrong with having your groceries delivered to your house. If you're going to get mad at me about something important. Nothing wrong with having things delivered to your house. Nothing wrong with you getting things from Amazon. Nothing wrong with things being delivered, but you are cutting yourself out from an opportunity to share the gospel. I was on the phone with a gal talking about my insurance and got to share the gospel with her because I was talking to her and not doing it online. Now, you know what? I've saved a lot of time doing things online, like you have. And we were just talking about this tonight. What did I do with the time that I saved? I don't know. I don't know. Sat there. What? Did I do anything constructive with it? Probably not. But take opportunities. So talk about the gospel. Talk about the gospel. If we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything. Number three, live as a witness. Refuse to be a person of compromise. Refuse to be a person of compromise. Refuse to be a person of compromise, even when no one is looking. Even when you can get away with it. Or you think you can. So you're not cheating on your taxes. You're not. It was the funniest thing. I checked out at this store, and I'm on my way to the to my car, and unloaded all my groceries. Somebody else is coming along, and she said, "Don't forget that on the bottom of your cart." I had never paid for it, and you know what? I got to be honest with you. It would have been easier for me. And the thought went right through my mind. You know, well, oh well. The thought went through my mind. The temptation is not the sin. It's what you do with that temptation that is the sin. So I said, oh my goodness, I never even paid for it. So I'm wheeling it back in. And the girl was so thankful. She said, no, people don't do that. I got a chance to witness to her because I paid for what was on the bottom of my cart. See, we get to live for God. We get to be people refusing to be people of compromise. Be a person of integrity. Why? Because verse 5 tells us judgment is coming. And in the next few verses, it tells us what happens to the people that live for themselves, what happens to the false prophets and so forth. Verse 5, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah, and that's Satan and his angels that we just talked about. In verse 7, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality, gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also, these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, speak evil of dignitaries. None of that's been going on, right? Okay, in verse 9, yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts. In these things they corrupt themselves. And the next verse says, woe to them. Verse 11, woe to them. For they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. You can look that up and read it on your own in Genesis chapter 4 and do some study on what that verse is all about. These are spots, verse 12, in your love feasts. While they feast with you without fear, they don't have any fear of being found out because they think you're blinded. No fear of being found out. Serving only themselves. They are clouds without water. Remember when we have the drought, about 7 years, wasn't it? 6 or 7 year drought that was in our last time. And the clouds would come over and we go, oh, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. Nothing. Nothing came from it. That's what these people are like. This was what false prophets are like. They promise things and nothing happens with them. They are carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, nothing to offer to you, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea foaming up their own shame, showing off who they are. Wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever, and those lights will not shine in that darkness. Those lights will not shine in that darkness. Verse 14, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. For what reason? To execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And he goes on to say about what these people are like. Verse 16, these are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people for what purpose? To gain advantage, for the purpose of themselves to gain advantage. And I love verse 17 because it says, but you, beloved, remember. But you, beloved, remember. The words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last days, in the last time, who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. Ladies, we are in the last days. We are in the last of the last of the last days. Jesus Christ is coming for his church. He is. Are we ready? Are our eyes open? Are we prepared to be received by our groom? Are we dressed in the right clothing? Are we clothed in righteousness, in his righteousness? Are we prepared for Jesus Christ to come for us? These are sensual persons, it says, who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. And we talked already about how division is in the church right now on whether or not you wear a mask, you don't wear a mask. You take a vaccine, you don't take a vaccine. You do this, you don't do that. And there's division being caused over things that have no eternal value. Again, in verse 20, he says, but you. That's what these people do, but you. You believers, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. But you, stand up, learning, knowing the word of God, contending for the faith, praying as the Holy Spirit leads. This section, when it says praying in the Holy Spirit, it is not specifically talking about praying in in tongues or in another language. It is talking about praying in the Spirit. The Spirit gives us utterance. When we have groanings that cannot be uttered, we don't even have the words, and the Holy Spirit interprets for us. He prays for us and through us, and he leads us. Would you be using tongues or what some people call a prayer language during this time? Maybe. But not necessarily, you see, because the gift of tongues, it says that not everybody speaks in tongues. So if it's a prayer language that is given to everybody, but some people don't get it, then something's wrong with the story. And so it's available to all, but not all receive it. And that's okay. There is no condemnation because of that. This is speaking about praying in the Holy Spirit, in the direction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I don't know how to pray for this situation. What's going on right now? I don't know how to pray for it. And all of a sudden, the words come because the Holy Spirit is leading us in how to pray. And so you can use whatever language you want at that time. And so praying as the Holy Spirit leads and looking for His coming. Looking for His coming. It says we are to keep ourselves in the love of Christ. We are to keep ourselves in the love of Jesus. There is work to be done. I must keep myself in the love of Christ. I must keep myself in the love of Christ. It is an action on my part. You cannot do it for me. I can't do it for you. We must keep ourselves in the love of Christ. How do we do that? The first thing we do is we give our life to Jesus Christ. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We ask Him to come and live in our heart, to be the leader of our lives, to help us to live for Him. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Verse 22 and 23 talks about having compassion on some, making a distinction, pulling some out of the fire, but don't even be burned by their clothing, hating even what they do, but knowing that you can care for them. Verse 24, now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. If we want to keep our feet on the ground spiritually, walk straight and not stumble, then we must give ourselves fully and completely to our Savior. He alone is able to guard us, but we have to keep ourselves safe in the love of God. Remember that Jude started out this letter in the beginning. He wanted to write concerning our common salvation, but it's necessary that I write to you about all the people. It's not just about me. Jude was reminding the people of the greatness of Jesus Christ. If we only can catch that, we will never be led astray by false teachers. It is amazing to me to end this whole session with verse 24 and 25. How apropos is this? Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today, to keep me from stumbling and to present me faultless. I am presented faultless because of the blood of Jesus Christ that has been shed for me before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. And who gets the glory? Do I get the glory? Oh, no. To God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Keep yourselves in the love of God. So, Lord Jesus, I thank You, Father, for the words that You have spoken to us, Lord, for the way that You have given to us all things that we have need of, Lord. We praise You, we love You, we honor You, we bless You, Lord. Help us to walk with You at all times. Help us to be quick to confess our sins. Instant for confession, instant forgiveness. And help us to walk with You, Lord. We look for You to come. And Father, I pray, as these women go into their small groups, Lord, I pray, Father, that they would just love on each other, Lord, challenge each other, encourage each other for a closer walk with You. We thank You, we praise You, Lord, and we give You all the honor and all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Jesus, we worship You.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495. Giving up, letting go.